Chapter 23. A Warp in the Air. "What of the sisters who were guarding her cell?" Cadswain asked, stomping up the wooden steps beside Maurice. "Coriel and Nasuna are alive, thankfully, though they were left extremely weak," Maurice said, holding her skirt up as she hurried along. Narishma followed them, the bells at the end of his braids ringing softly. "Daigyan is dead. We're not certain why the other two were left alive."
"Warders," Cadswain said. "Kill the Aes Sedai and their warders would know immediately, and we would have learned that something was wrong."
"The warders should have noticed that something was wrong anyway. They'd have to interrogate the men to see what they had felt. But there was likely a correlation." Daigyan had no living warder. Cadswain felt a stab of regret for the pleasant sister, but shoved it aside. No time for it now. "The other two were placed in some kind of trance," Maurice said. "I could see no remnants of weaves, nor could Narishma. We discovered the sisters just before the alarm was sounded, then went for you as soon as we were assured that Althor was alive and our enemies had been dealt with." Cadswain nodded crossly. "Of all the knights to be out visiting the wise ones in their tents." Sorilea and a small group of them followed behind Narishma, and Cadswain didn't dare slow her pace, lest the Aiel women trample her in their haste to see Althor. They reached the top of the stairs, then sped down the hallway toward Althor's room. How could he have gotten himself into this much trouble again? And how had that blasted Forsaken gotten free of her cell? Someone must have helped her, but that meant a Dark Friend in their camp. It wasn't unlikely. If Dark Friends existed in the White Tower, then they could undoubtedly be found here. But what Dark Friend could incapacitate Three Aes Sedai? Surely channeling on that level should have been felt by every sister or Ashaman in the camp. "Was the tea involved?" Cadswain asked Maurice quietly. "Not that we can tell," the Green replied. "We'll know more when the other two wake. They fell unconscious as soon as we brought them out of their trance." Cadswain nodded. Althor's door was open, and maidens swarmed outside it like wasps who had just discovered their nest was gone. Cadswain couldn't say that she blamed them. Apparently Althor had said little of what had happened. The fool boy was lucky to still be alive. What a light cursed mess, Cadswain thought, passing the maidens and entering the chamber. A small knot of Aes Sedai clustered on the far side of the room, speaking quietly. Serene, Arianne, Beldane, all of those in the camp who weren't either dead or incapacitated, except Elza. Where was Elza? The three nodded to Cadswain as she entered, but she spared them barely a glance. Min sat on the bed, rubbing her neck, eyes red, short hair disheveled, face pale. Althor stood beside the open far window, looking out at the night, his hand clasping his stump behind him. His coat lay rumpled on the floor and he stood in white shirt sleeves, a cool wind blowing in and ruffling his red-gold hair. Cadswain surveyed the room. Behind her, in the hall, the wise ones began to interrogate the maidens. "Well," Cadswain said, "what happened?" Min looked up. There were red marks on her neck, the beginnings of bruises. Rand did not turn from the window. "Insolent boy," Cadswain thought, coming farther into the room. "Speak up, boy," she said. "We need to know if the camp is in danger."
"The danger has been dealt with," he said softly.
Something in his voice made her hesitate. She'd been expecting anger, or perhaps satisfaction from him. Fatigue at the very least. Instead, his voice sounded cool.
"Will you explain what that means?" Cadswain demanded.
Finally he turned, looking at her. She took an involuntary step backward, though she couldn't say why. He was still the same foolish boy. Too tall, too self-confident, and too blunt-headed. There was a strange serenity about him now, but it had a dark edge, like the serenity one saw in the eyes of a condemned man the moment before he stepped up to the hangman's noose.
Narishma, Rand said, looking past Cadswain. I have a weave for you. Memorize it. I will show it to you only once.
With that, Althor put his hand out to the side, and a bar of brilliant white fire shot from between his fingers and struck his coat, which lay on the floor. It vanished in a burst of light. Cadswain hissed.
I told you never to use that weave, boy. You will never do so again. Do you hear me? This is not...
That is the weave we must use when fighting Forsaken, Narishma, Althor said, his quiet voice cutting straight through Cadswain's. If we kill them with anything else, they can be reborn. It is a dangerous tool, but still just a tool. Like any other.
It is forbidden, Cadswain said.
I have decided that it is not, Althor said calmly.
You don't have any idea what that weave can do. You're a child playing with...
I have seen balefire destroy cities, Althor said, eyes growing haunted. I have seen thousands burned from the pattern by its purifying flames. If you call me a child, Cadswain, then what are those of you, who are thousands of years my juniors?
He met her gaze.
Light! What had happened to him?
She struggled to collect her thoughts.
So Semirag is dead?
Worse than dead, Althor said, and far better off in many ways, I should think.
Well then, I suppose we can get on with do you recognize that,
Cadswain?
Althor said, nodding toward something metallic sitting on the bed, mostly hidden by the sheets. Hesitantly, she walked forward. Sorrelia looked over, expression unreadable. Apparently, she didn't wish to be drawn into the conversation when Althor was in such a mood. Cadswain didn't blame her. Cadswain pulled back the sheets, revealing a familiar pair of bracelets. There was no collar.
Impossible, she whispered.
That is what I assumed, Althor said in that terribly calm voice of his. I told myself that it obviously couldn't be one of the same Turangreal I relinquished to you. You promised they would be protected and hidden.
Well then, Cadswain said, unnerved. She covered the things back up. That is settled then.
It is. I sent people to your room. Tell me, is this box where you were keeping the bracelets? We found it open on the floor of your quarters.
A maiden brought out a familiar oak box. It was the same one, obviously. Cadswain turned toward him in anger.
You searched my room.
I was unaware that you were visiting the Wise Ones, Althor said.
He gave a small nod of respect to Sorrelia and Amys, which they hesitantly returned.
I sent servants to check on you as I feared that Semirag might have tried for revenge on you.
They shouldn't have touched this, Cadswain said, taking the box from the maiden.
It was prepared with very intricate wards.
Not intricate enough, Althor said, turning away from her.
He still stood by that darkened window, looking out over the camp. The room fell silent. Narishma had been asking quietly after Min's health, but he fell silent when Althor stopped speaking. Rand obviously felt that Cadswain was responsible for the male Adam being stolen, but that was preposterous. She had prepared the best ward she knew, but who knew what knowledge the Forsaken had for getting past wards? How had Althor survived? And what of the other contents of that box? Did Althor now have the access key? Or had the statuette been taken by Semirag? Did Cadswain dare ask? The silence continued.
What are you waiting for? She finally asked, with all the bravado she could summon.
Do you expect an apology from me?
From you? Althor asked.
There was no humor in his voice, just the same cold evenness.
No. I suspect that I could sooner extract an apology from a stone than from you.
Then you are exiled from my sight, Cadswain, he said softly.
If I see your face again after tonight, I will kill you.
Rand, no, Min said, standing up beside the bed. He didn't turn toward her. Cadswain felt an immediate stab of panic, but shoved it aside with her anger.
What? She demanded. This is foolishness, boy.
He turned, and again that gaze of his made her trail off. There was a danger to it, a shadowy cast to his eyes that struck her with more fear than she'd thought her aging heart could summon. As she watched, the air around him seemed to warp, and she could almost think that the room had grown darker.
But, she found herself stuttering, but you don't kill women. Everyone knows it. You can hardly put the maidens into danger for fear of them getting hurt.
I have been forced to revise that particular inclination, Althor said. As of tonight.
But, Cadswain, he said softly,
do you believe that I could kill you? Right here, right now, without using a sword or the power? Do you believe that if I simply willed it, the pattern would bend around me and stop your heart by coincidence?
Being Taviran didn't work that way.
Light. It didn't, did it? He couldn't bend the very pattern to his will, could he?
And yet, meeting his eyes, she did believe. Against all logic, she looked in those eyes and knew that if she didn't leave, she would die. She nodded slowly, hating herself, strangely weak. He turned away from her, looking back out the window.
Be certain that I do not see your face ever again, Cadswain. You may go now.
Dazed, she turned, and from the corner of her eye she saw a deep darkness emanating from Althor, warping the air even further. When she glanced back, it was gone. With gritted teeth, she left.
Prepare yourself and your armies, Althor said to those who remained, voice echoing in the room behind. I intend to be gone by week's end.
Cadswain raised a hand to her heart and leaned against the hallway wall outside, heart thumping, hand sweating. Before, she had been working against a stubborn but good-hearted boy. Someone had taken that child and replaced him with this man, a man more dangerous than any she had ever met. Day by day, he was slipping away from them. And at the moment, she hadn't a blasted clue what to do about it.